I'd like for you to turn with me today to the book of John, chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, that was life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but for the darkness has not understood it.
Thank you, Dennis. We're glad you're here this morning. Yes, I have been praying for winter and snow. Somebody else prayed for the ice. So that must have been one of you. Don't wish your life away. Don't be praying for May, because this is just February. It should be cold. Praise God. Joe, praise God. There you go. This is the third lesson from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 today. And the reality is, some people just don't understand. They think that we're a bunch of... I can't say that word anymore. Mentally handicapped people. That we're so weak that we have to lean on God. But I don't believe it has anything to do with weakness. I believe it has to do with choice. We have chosen to love God, and we have chosen to follow God, and we have chosen to worship God, because at the end of life, we will stand before God. The world still lives in darkness. The world just doesn't get it. And that's really the point that he is making here in John chapter 1. The only verse we've not covered yet is verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. It keeps shining. It's still there, but the darkness doesn't get it. A better word for understood is apprehend. But the darkness has not apprehended it. That is the exact meaning of that word. I want to look at three things today. The first one begins with the word know, N-O. No understanding, no capture, but then I want to talk about but, B-U-T, the difference. That's right, Anaya, that's what I said. The word understood here in John chapter 1, verse 5, the darkness has not understood it, is the Greek word katalambano, and it means to lay hold of with the mind. Some people talk about, well, it's hard to wrap my brain around something. That's exactly what this word means. To wrap your mind around it, to understand it, to perceive it. Metaphorically, of darkness with regard to light. However, the issue is, he's saying, you don't understand. The darkness does not wrap its mind around. And so, there are a lot of explanations in life. People try to explain away things, but there is no real explanation for a person who knows better, but chooses to walk away. Now, listen, we all have choice, and that's not based on the Constitution. That choice is based on creation. God created us with the mind to choose who we would. I want to begin looking at John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, this will help explain this point of no understanding. First of all, we need to understand that the Jews did not know. They did not understand that God would come in the flesh. And so in John chapter 10, we begin at verse 24. The Jews gathered around him, that's Jesus, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." That phrase, "tell us plainly," literally means lift up our souls. Give us something to hope in. And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." They missed it. He lived those 30 plus years with them, and they could not put one and one together and come up with two. There was the misunderstanding that this Jesus, this Messiah, this Christ that would come, they thought would be more along the lines of a politician instead of a savior. Folks, we don't need any more politics. I figured everybody and their dog would amen that twice. We don't need any more politicians. We just need Jesus. If people would just leave us alone and let us follow Jesus and even share the Word of God in our workplace so others could follow Jesus, then we'd be better off. We certainly don't need the politicians that meet in that certain part of the United States of America to send any more letters to us, as Wilson and Gene Smith got some time ago, that says, "Leave your Christianity at home." We don't need that. And we're not going to leave our Christianity at home. We're going to take it with us. We don't care what these liberal-minded people who don't believe in God have to say. We believe in what God has to say. So in John the 8th chapter, as Jesus is going along, he faced some of the same types of criticism that we will face in this world when we live the Christian life. And they believed, the Jews did, that although they were disobedient and would not listen to Jesus, they believed that they were still Abraham's children. And Jesus said, "No, your father is the devil." That's what he said in John chapter 8. But we get down to verse 46, and Jesus asks a very pertinent question. "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" And the answer to that is no. In fact, nobody can lay a charge at the feet of Jesus. Because according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, there was no understanding that the Messiah would be perfect and that the Messiah would ultimately give his life for the sake of salvation. Again, they were looking for a political leader. John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, they did not understand that Jesus must be lifted up. And so the discussion is that as Jesus speaks to the Father, he says in verse 27, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die, and the crowd spoke up. We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. And then he says, put your trust in the light. They didn't get it. To this day, the Jews still don't get it. God's own people that he selected as his bride that came out of Egypt, that went to the promised land, they still don't get it. And there's a lot of our culture today, a lot of Americans who just don't get it because they don't want to know what the truth is. They want to believe what they want to believe. But folks, if you don't understand that Jesus came in the flesh, that Jesus lived a perfect life, and that Jesus was lifted up on the cross for us, then you don't understand much. You don't understand the most important things in life. Because those very things, those three truths about Jesus, are going to get us off of this planet. Number two, not only no understanding, but no capture. Now, I'm using a different word, but basically means the same thing of the word apprehended. And I want to begin in John chapter 7. This word is used in the Gospel of John only. In the Gospels, that is. It is used a few other times in the epistles, but it is only used by John. In John chapter 7, we want to read verses 28 through 30. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me." At this, they tried to seize him. There's that word, apprehend. But no one laid a hand on him, because his time had not yet come. And then drop down to verse 32. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Same word, the word apprehend. Now, drop down with me to verse 44. Some wanted to apprehend or seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. This word, apprehend or seized, in this passage of Scripture is the word piazo. It's the word piazo, and it literally means to lay hold of by force. Well, I remember a few times in my life when my dad got a hold of me by force. And I remember a few times my earlobes are longer because my grandmother's scarf got a hold of me by them instead of by something. I wish she'd have grabbed me by my shoulder. My ears wouldn't be near as long as they are. But can you imagine, these people so hated Jesus, they wanted him arrested, they wanted to apprehend him, they wanted to stone him, but they couldn't catch him. They couldn't apprehend him. And one of the reasons there in verse 30 is his time had not yet come. And that's a completely different study through the Gospel of John. And that's a beautiful study about their attempts at capturing Jesus. Now, across the page to John chapter 8. And looking at verse 20. Let's start at verse 19. Then they asked him, "Where is your father?" "You do not know me or my father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, no one apprehended him, because his time had not yet come. Now drop down to John chapter 10. We've already read part of this passage from John chapter 10, where Jesus said, "You're not my sheep. If you were my sheep, you'd listen to my voice, you'd know me, you'd follow me." But they did not. And we drop down to John chapter 10 and looking at verse 39. Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Now, that may seem innocent enough, but the reality is, Jesus was on a timetable. He had places to be at specific times to accomplish specific things so that in the end there would be a righteous man dying for the unrighteous. Not only did the Jews not understand, but they could not capture him. They could not seize him. They could not arrest him. They could not lay a hand on him until his time had come. And in John 13, and beginning at verses 1 and 2, the Bible said it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world. So we know that that did happen. Jesus allowed them to arrest him. Jesus allowed them to take him to trial. Jesus allowed them to crucify him. Jesus gave up his spirit, but on the third day resurrected. Now I want to talk about that third thing. But there was no understanding. Our world is still stuck in that. They're still living in the darkness without comprehending what God intends for them to comprehend. And they cannot capture Jesus. In fact, they really can't lay a hand on him. I know he's not here, but they just don't really get it. But it's because they don't want to. You know, the Jews that saw Jesus turn the water into wine in John chapter 2. And the crowds that saw Jesus feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, in John chapter 6. The people that understood that he could heal the individual like the woman who was subject to bleeding for many years in her life. Or at the resurrection of Lazarus in John chapter 11. Or Jairus' daughter. Jesus could do so many things. And there were people who did believe in him, but the majority did not. I want to talk about but the children of light. You go back to John chapter 1. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Yet, for some of us, for those of us who want to know truth, I believe, don't you, that if a person is seeking truth, God will let him see it and find it. Do you believe that? Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open to you." I believe that we're here today because we have been seeking truth. We've been seeking the knowledge of God that is based on truth. But there are those who are seeking darkness. They'll find it. There are those who are seeking pleasure and sin. They'll find it. Because, listen, we have a choice. God has given us a choice based upon creation. Number one, the children of light understand. In John chapter 11, as Jesus met with Mary and Martha, his heart was already broken. We know that because Lazarus was a very dear friend of his. And so in John chapter 11, Jesus said in verse 23 to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Now that's comforting. And how many of us want to know the truth that our mothers and fathers will rise again? Our brothers or sisters will rise again. Our children that have been taken from us will rise again. And there are those here who have had children taken from them. But the great encouragement is, for a Christian, we don't say goodbye. Because a resurrection is going to happen. And eternity then will take place. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. If you go back to John chapter 1, that life that Jesus lived, the perfect life, is light. It enhances. It opens up the eyes. It shows people this is how God wants us to live. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she said. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the God, who was to come into the world. Don't we believe that same thing? But it's because we understand. We want to know what God did. We want to know what God is still doing. I haven't seen the movie yet, but there is a movie out that says God is not dead. I understand that it's a good movie. I just haven't gotten around to seeing it yet. I believe it. I don't have to see the movie. I believe God is not dead. I don't believe in global warming. Ask the people that live in Boston today if they believe in global warming. It's a good thing global warming's going on in Boston. Think of the snow they'd have gotten if it weren't going on. I don't believe in global warming. I believe in a global God. I believe that God's in control of the weather. I believe that God is even in control of the laws of the land, even though the laws of the land, God allows the unrighteous to bring this nation to a point at which He will judge it and overthrow it. God uses nations to bring about His will. The children of God, the children of light, understand the light. Now drop down in that same chapter to verses 49 through 55. You see, this made the Jews quite unhappy with the people believing after He raised Lazarus from the dead. How do you counteract a miracle like that? Well, they couldn't discount the miracle, so do you know what they decided to do? Kill the miracle maker. And so in verse 49, then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. We believe that the cross of Jesus was not an accident. Now, the religious group that I used to be a part of, from the time I was 16 till the time I was 20, they look at Jesus, they understand that Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, that Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many of you have two hands? Let's see them. Raise them up here. Look, I know some of you won't. You're just that way. But you've got two hands. And most of the time when something gets to my hand, do you know what happens? It goes in my mouth, if it's food. But boy, if it's in your hand and you've got it in your hand, what was Jesus saying? I know that, I believe the King James says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You can reach out and grab it if it's in your hand and take possession of it. But yet the religious world that I was a part of said, oh, Jesus, for some unforeseen reason, God didn't know that Jesus was going to be crucified, and so the Jews crucified him. And then at some point in the future, Jesus is going to come back and establish his kingdom. Folks, that's a bunch of hogwash. Because God knew that Jesus was going to die. Jesus knew that he was going to die. And that's why he said in John chapter 12, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." In John chapter 20, I love this part of the book. I love the whole chapter. I don't have time, but we're not going to beat anybody to the restaurants today, are we? No? That means I got time. After the resurrection of Jesus, Thomas was not present when the Lord appeared to the other 10 of the 11. A week later, verse 26, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, if you have an NIV, it says, "My Lord and my God." That's not what the original language says. I don't know what the NET Bible says, but here's what the original Bible says: "The Lord of me, the God of me." Now that's quite different. He is not saying, "Oh, you're just one Lord among a whole bunch of lords," or "you're one God among a whole bunch of gods." He is saying specifically, "You are the only God and you are the only Lord." He believed. And if you keep reading, then Jesus told them, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and me. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why I don't want to live in darkness. I want to believe in the light. I want to believe in the life, and I want to believe in salvation, because it's the greatest thing we can believe in. I want to trust in the Lord. But you see, that's what the children of light do. They understand Jesus. They trust him. That means they're able, to some extent, wrap their brain around what Jesus did. Now, I can't explain everything that Jesus did. I don't understand everything that Jesus did. I accept what he did, and I trust it. Thirdly, in John chapter 10, in verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Jesus came into this world, a world of darkness, and most people didn't understand. But it's not because they couldn't, it's because they wouldn't. The same with our neighbors or even our family members who reject Jesus. It's not because they can't accept him, it's that they won't accept him. It's a choice. We believe that Jesus came to this planet. We believe that Jesus lived and died a perfect life because the Bible tells us so. Those first century eyewitnesses wrote it down for us. And yet, the modern theologian today, the modern people that are supposed to tell you about God, will tell you that Jesus was just a mere man, and that Christianity is just one religion among many. Folks, we don't need something that man invented. We need Jesus. We need the light of the gospel of Jesus. Now here's a question. Have you apprehended him? Have you laid your faith on him? You see, the idea of these lessons from John chapter 1 is to give us assurance. So it's so that we'll have knowledge and trust and therefore have assurance. Not in ourselves, not that we can go around saying, oh, we're a wonderful, great bunch of people, but that we can say God is really good to us. He has blessed us far above what anybody else could ever do for us. But one thing God has done that nobody else can do, God has saved us. We live in a world of darkness, and the light still shines. You see, we're a part of that light because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So that gives us great responsibility as well as great privilege. Thank God you're here today. Thank God that there were those who didn't get out today because it is slippery out there and my grandson fell 3 times from my little purple truck to the front door. It is slick. Be careful going home. And be careful coming back if you come back tonight, Lord willing. Bottom line, people don't have to live in darkness. In fact, God may be calling you out of darkness this morning. God may be calling you back into the light that you once were in. Do you believe that Jesus is worth following? If you do, let's get on with it. Let's get on with following Him. Otherwise, the light really doesn't do us any good. If you're here this morning and you are already a Christian, but yet you've been away from God, come home. Choose to get up and acknowledge where you were and come home because God will meet you halfway. If you're not a Christian, you've been thinking about being baptized into Christ for a period of time, make this day that day where you choose to become a part of light because that light gives life. If we can pray for you, or if we can encourage you in any other way, as the Lord's people, we stand together and we sing this wonderful song to help anybody that may need our help. Come while we stand and sing.